Well, it's welcome to you. Before we have announcements and worship, it'd be nice if the Lord give his special blessing upon us this morning, wouldn't it? I do need to hear from heaven also. I have a thank you letter here, and that I thought I should read to you. I know it was written by Kath, but it's just so sweet. I'm going to read the whole thing. This is to my wife and I, but Sovereign Grace Church, Baptist Church. Beloved ones, joy unspeakable and full of glory was our portion in visit with you, good selves, and the saints there at the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. And the presence of the living Lord in the midst was so very, very precious. What a privilege and highly favored people we are to belong to his glorious family, his blood-washed children. Hallelujah to the Lamb who was slain on Mount Calvary in our behalf. Praise and honor and glory and majesty be unto his wonderful name and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our beloved fellow laborers in the glorious gospel, thank you from the depths of our hearts for your Christian love and kindness shown to us in so many different ways. The delightful accommodations that are provided for us, the two outstanding and so delicious banquets set before us, and for the generous love missionary support gift, which was $767, handed to us, along with Brother Klotz's taxi service in our behalf. And words are truly inadequate to express our heartfelt thanks. But the Lord knows how appreciative we are for everything, dear ones. May he, the riches of his grace be the portion of you all in abundance in return. And may we all be kept pleasing in God's sight and prosperous in his glorious and highly privileged service. Labors together with God, yes, and what a privilege. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:9 endures because of sovereign grace. Kenneth and Kath Ashcroft. Delightful, huh? Well, let's see. The agenda for today, Brother Rook called, and he said he plans to be with us at 7 o'clock, and he says, I want to continue in the matter of Joshua. All right. And then, as far as announcements the rest of the week, if you see Dan Robbins, let him know that you appreciate that he's having a birthday on Tuesday. And Wednesday is our Bible study. I'd like to continue the next two verses after this morning's message, the Lord willing, in which we have afterwards a prayer meeting. Now, the Labor Day weekend's coming up, and, you know, I like to say this. I hope you plan to spend some time with friends and family, and that you not forget to worship on Sunday, the weekend, Labor Day weekend, that you won't forget to worship on the Lord's Day. So with the announcements, let's sing some hymns that have to do with strength. How to be strong. You want to be a strong Christian, then these hymns may have some help for you. Number 132, Wondrous King All Glorious.
Our blindness, straight from thee our blessing.
strengthen thou, help us now. And so, soldiers, soldiers of Christ, arise. 482. Spiritually better in the singing of the last part of those, that hymn. Not sure what's wrong there. He started out fine, but it doesn't seem like the last stanza there is working out right. But we did it, didn't we? Now, our Father, here we are. Thank you for bringing us. Thank you for giving us a day whereby we can worship and praise you and be instructed in the holy things that you have given to us in your precious word. We're asking that thy Holy Spirit would please be pleased to minister to us, make our time worthwhile, and that we might be strengthened for the eternity which is ahead for each of us. May the days which we are allotted here be of profit to the cause and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and who has given his all that we might have all in all. Thank you for our salvation in him. Thank you for his presence by means of his Spirit. Thank you for the word that we have before us. Thank you for local churches like our own here that we can expect that your presence be upon us and with us, and that we might this day be pleasing to you. Help our worship to do just that. Our Father, we're cognizant of the needs, not only of our own individual needs, but those around about us, friends and neighbors, family, and this world at large. We pray that there may be a ministering today effectively, because we desire so much that others might know Jesus Christ, the Savior, and to live for him. And so give us power this morning, this day. Give us the hope that we have and the preciousness. Help us to believe even stronger than when we came in here this morning. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing about God is our refuge and our strength. That's number 37. He's our refuge and our strength.
Cast the falling one.
Is our refuge and our strength, a refuge strong and sure. And he wants us to be like that too. I'd like us to read scripture together this morning. That is, you read with me. We've come to the end of chapter 1 of Colossians. But you know, chapters are put in there by men. And you'd say, well, there must be a different thought. Not necessarily. It says the chapter headings are there by men. I do believe that perhaps it could be a better if it was at verse 28. However, I wasn't there. They did ask me. And so I would like us to stand in honor of God's holy word. I'd like to start in chapter 1, verse 28. And I'd like us to read through verse 5 of the second chapter. Now, what's this all about? Well, Paul's about ready to get into the instructing part of this letter. And we're going to get down to some real teaching now. It's like he built foundation and he said, okay, now the foundation is pretty well established. Now let's get at it. So let's see what's new here. And if you'll read with me, treating punctuations as periods so we can stay together and not have a race. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledging of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I with you in the spirit, joyed in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. This is the word of God, and may you be seated, please. Now, before we study the word of God, let's sing the hymn number 244, Spirit Strength of All the Weak, 244.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let's turn to Colossians. I must tell you that I have enjoyed this singing this morning. When we come to subject like how to do this and how to do that, I'm apprehensive because I think that there's so much of that is done and so shallow. But when it's contextually found in the scriptures, I think that you have to be careful to treat it as being something shallow. I remind you, the last we studied this together, Paul was telling us that he was a minister. And in the ministry, we found that there was this matter of there is a pastor, teacher, and he told us that it was intense and contrary to what most people think. In fact, he was telling us in the last part of chapter 1 that it's very exhausting. In verse 29, he said, "Whereunto I also labor, striving." And now those words in the Greek are telling us very clearly that it's a real effort. And he gives the same picture in verse 1, using a word that is familiar to all of you. If you listen at all to the news this week about the Olympics, we have an athletic term for you to consider this morning spiritually. You're maybe excited about some of the things that happened, maybe not. Doesn't make any difference whether we do or not, but it's true that it's happening. And so we have here this matter of an athletic picture that draws me into the idea that we can be strong Christians. What is the word? The word is found in chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict." And that's the word where you get the word agonizing. A-G-O-A-G-N-O-N is the Greek word. Agonizing. Agonizing I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, Paul, what are you agonizing about? Is it really that extensive? Well, you know, those who participated in the Olympics, I don't know if you recognize this. You say, well, they're just tough people. They're really built. And hey, I got to tell you something. I remember seeing some time ago when they had the Winter Olympics, how that before they'd go down the slope, that they would stand there and they would be very quiet. And I said what they would do in their mind, they would do everything ahead of time. Know just what they're going to do before they go. Now listen, that takes some discipline. And the Word of God says as Christians that we need to do some thinking ahead of time and preparation. That takes effort. That takes brain work. It also takes the matter of the heart and the head. That's inward. Some people don't understand what inward struggle is all about. And when you're in a contest and he has you in a wrestling, and this is very apt to use for wrestling or for racing. You're in a wrestling match and he has you. Now then, what are you going to do? You got to use your head. Sure, you got to be strong. But they have to know how to break this hold. And Christians, is it, do you want to be a strong Christian? How to break the hold of the enemy upon your life? Do you really want this, or do you satisfy with playing? You know, like you used to, as children used to play, you girls played with doll babies, and we fellows played with driving cars and so forth, making noises in a car that's sitting still. Is that what we're doing spiritually? Are we still children playing? Or is there a battle going here? We sang this morning the matter of Christians that must take up the battle. And by the way, you say, well, Paul, it's fine. You're a missionary. God chose you. Sure, you ought to be able to battle. But listen, in warfare, do the privates also have to have... What's the matter with that thing? In warfare... thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. In warfare, the privates have to have arms too, have to have guns as well as the officers. So if you think, well, it's good, let the preacher let them do it. Oh yeah, but you have to be fortified too, and equipped. Not just for the those are our leaders, but all of us need to be equipped. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this, it's like a racetrack here also. This word, where do you get this word? The word conflict has the idea of struggle. Intense, it says great conflict. How can there be great conflict in being in living the Christian life? I thought they told us that if we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, receive Him as our Savior, that our problems are all gone now. That's false. That's erroneous. That's heresy. But it's very common. Say, well, you become a Christian, you won't have any more problems. There's some people so ignorant. If you have arthritis as a Christian, you say, hey, you're a Christian, you have arthritis. You got a bad heart and you're a Christian? I thought everything was supposed to be taken care of. That's so stupid to think that way. We're in the flesh. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous both. You're probably going to take some kind of disease or an accident's going to kill you and me too. So, hey. But the point of it is, what is this great agonizing struggling that's found here? He says, you know, I have that, he said. I have it for you, he says, in behalf, your behalf. Now, he did tell us, didn't he, that in verse 24 of the first chapter, he said, I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. What do you mean you're rejoicing in suffering? He said, listen, I'm in jail. I'm here that I might defend the cause of Christ, that you might have the liberty to preach the word of God. And he said, I rejoice that God has seen fit to have me here, that the word of God may prosper and that I may spend my time writing the word of God as God gave him the word. You know, this matter of this prayer. Oh, my word. Throw it out. This matter of, where were we? When I got to me, wait a minute. The word of God. So you read this and you say, this is the word of God. Okay, that sounds nice. Well, Paul, there in prison in Rome, he wrote down this word. So God dictated from heaven, hey, Paul, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like this. Hey, Paul's going to do this. Hey, Paul, do this. No, it wasn't that way. God, by his inspiration, his breath upon Paul, using Paul's facilities, his mentality, and the whole thing, and God miraculously spoke to his heart and his conscience, and he wrote down these things that God breathed. It wasn't a dictator. It wasn't dictation. And so you say, I was in prison. And you know, if you thought that was a picnic, don't compare it with present-day prisons. This is a horrible situation. And they didn't treat you at all kindly. But there he is. Now, we know he had a little house arrest that gave him some privilege. But 24 hours with a guard on you all the time. No privacy at all. And subservient to all situations. But he said, here I am, and I rejoice in my suffering. For you, for us. What do you mean for us? Well, verse 1 says, for those who haven't seen my face in the flesh. I haven't seen Paul's face in the flesh. No. Well, that seems like a timeless statement, the last part of verse 1. He said, I want you to know something. I really have great concern and athletic agony I have for you and for those of the church at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Thanks, Bob. That's much better. I'll tell you, brethren, that is amazing. God said, this agonizing that you might get this. You need to get this. This is the word of God. You must get this. It's not optional. Oh, I don't have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. You need to listen. God is speaking. And he said, I have this, the whole matter of conflict is not against God, no, but it's against opposition. You know, we have conflict within and without. You don't think about the old nature left in you yet, do you? Your thought, word, and deed. It's a battle. You know anything about opposition when somebody says, I don't like that. I don't particularly care for that. What? Well, I gave you the word of God, but I don't particularly want that. Or who people really get upset with you and turn away. No, it's talking about exertion. The Christian life involves exertion. It involves work. It involves brain. You say, but it involves the inward part, the inward man. It says in the next verse, your heart. And what does it mean in verse 2? That their hearts, and that's the word cardio. That's where we, cardiologist, there it is. The word cardios, that their hearts might be comforted. Then it's not talking about the literal pumper. It's talking about the inward part of an individual. We have the inward. He said, you haven't, dear, there's other friends who haven't seen my face personally in the flesh. And he says, I desire that they may be strong. And the way to get strong, it says here that their hearts might be comforted. Now that's a passage. The King James Version has the word comforted. I'm told by the Greek scholars that word ought to be strengthened. All right. I'll go along with you boys if you want to use that word. That their hearts may be strengthened. But I like the word comfort too. And I won't throw that out, the baby with the washwater. He said, in my goal and my concern is that your hearts, the innermost part of you, may be strengthened. I told you that there's agony. I told you there's a struggle. And he said that you might have inwardness that is strong, strengthened. The word is from the Greek parakleia, which is the word to stand beside you, embrace you. And I had the joy of taking my elderly sister and my cousin out to a meal. And my elderly sister's doing quite well, but my cousin was having a real hard time to walk. And I said, Shirley, take my arm. She said, oh, yes, I will. That's paraclita, to lean upon someone, to hold upon something. He said, I want your hearts to hold upon something, to be braced up, to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged, comforted, strengthened in your Christian walk. Not it's boring. Man, church is boring. No, it is not that at all. You're boring. You don't know what it is, because if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your intimate Savior, it probably is boring. But all those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we desire that our innermost being might be comforted, encouraged, and strengthened. How we do need to be strengthened. How are you going to be strengthened? It's with truth. That's how we're strengthened. You know, years ago, I had occasion to see some fool's gold. Now, if you haven't ever seen fool's gold, you won't even know what my illustration's all about. But I had some fool's gold. Maybe it's around here somewhere yet. And it's pretty stuff. I say, boy, this is really valuable. It's not valuable. Or maybe something for, might be a little something, but it's not gold. And there's a lot of things that you'd say, well, I do need to do this, and if I do this, I'll be strengthened. Listen, if you don't go to the truth, the word of God, it's fool's gold. Oh, but I need to read this book. Yes, if I read that book, maybe it'll do something for me. Maybe it will. If it's based upon the word of God, I wouldn't knock that. But listen, a lot of it's on around today is fool's gold. It isn't worth too much. Paul's saying, I want you to be strong in the Lord. I don't want you messing around with the fool's gold. All other things are fool's gold. Well, that's pretty radical to say that. It's radical to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, too. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's radical, but it's true. So if you get the idea that, well, the Bible's nice and I like to hear it, and good message and so forth, a good Bible study, but I like to spend my time reading some other things that I feel are very important. Well, it's maybe very important, maybe for business and whatever, but it the matter here of hearts to be strengthened, my dear friends, comes from the truth that is the Word of God, is to be increased in the knowledge. As it says here, it seems like he's really putting it to us by the Spirit of God. It says, listen, look at the last part of that verse 2. I'll get to the rest of it. The last part of it says that you may be wealthier with all the riches of full assurance of understanding. Oh, yeah, that's okay. To the acknowledging the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge. I want to know about that. All these hidden treasuries. You know, I was talking to a preacher that I've known for many years, and we were talking. He had his coat off, and in his pocket was a letter sticking up. Had the Masonic insignia upon the top of it right there. I thought, oh boy, Alan, you're one of these preachers who believe you need the Masonic touch, and that there's something in that secret society that would really be a help to you as a preacher. I wish that you'd look at verse 3 and you'd study that and see whether it makes any sense. If all, and I'm getting ahead of myself, in whom are hid, that is in Christ, are hid all the treasures. Yes? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's Christology. Now, we've had a nice dose of that in the first part of chapter 1. I hope you appreciate it. But here it comes out again. The Christology. What? He's saying all wisdom. Wait a minute. That's pretty stretching it, isn't it, Lord? That are hidden, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. But we'll get to that when we get there. I'm not there yet. I want to talk about this matter of being strengthened, to be strengthened. And it says here that our hearts may be strengthened, or comforted, or encouraged, or to be braced up. I need that. I tell you, my friends, it's nice to be able to eat, for instance, wholesome food without poison. What? It was shocking to me, and I share this because we are spirit, soul, and body. I don't mind telling you this. You know, for years, after World War II, DDT came out, we used to have flies. Oh, my word, back on the farm, they were terrible. I mean, you'd just go in the screen door and be black with flies. And we'd put the cheesecloth over the table so the flies wouldn't get on our food. It was awful, but then out came marvelous DDT, and it wiped them out. Wonderful! But then they found that it was very damaging to human life. No, yeah. So you won't find DDT against it any longer. It's been off of the market. You see, it's one thing to have wholesome food. It's another thing to have food that has poison in it. Now, I want to scare you. Insecticides that they use to kill all the bugs. If you got sweet corn and had a bug on you, say, oh, a worm in my sweet corn. Oh, I'm telling you something. That was a good ear of corn. You say, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. If a worm could eat it and not die, you might say it's safe for you to eat it. That's dumb thinking. No, it isn't. Because insecticide is a poison that affects one's brains. You say, I'm going to eat this corn. Go ahead. It's been sprayed with an insecticide. You heard about the story of the man over on the other side of the Danville, Riverside area, that he went to get some sweet corn. And the lady said, well, it's pretty much closing time. If you what you want, a neighbor said, just go down and get yourself some sweet corn. And so it'd be the neighbor. He went down. And he saw all these birds dead in the sweet corn. Birds. Lying all over, dead birds. Well, what happened to them? Well, they were eating those, probably eating some insects that had been sprayed. Now, if you're to kill birds, don't you think wholesome food is really valuable? What are you trying to preach to me this morning? I'm not just stating some facts, just the facts. Which would you rather have? Good looking, lovely looking? Or would you like to have something that's good, but it may have some blemishes, but it's not been treated with insecticides or herbicides or chemical fertilizers and all those things? Boy, you gave a shot for organic farming, didn't you, preacher? That's right. Nothing wrong with that. If I love you enough, I love you spirit, soul, and body. Take it for what it's worth. Go ahead. I know we can't be consistent in everything, and so sometimes we have to eat things that aren't quite what it ought to be, but hey, give thanks for it at least, will you? Ask the Lord to bless it. But he said, to be strengthened, how to be strong in the Lord, you have to have the truth. You have to have abundance of it. Well, how am I going to have abundance of it? Look at the next part of verse 2. What part? It says, being knit together in love. That's the next feature of how to be a strong Christian. To be knit together in love. Wow. Some people operate on the old adage, out of sight, out of mind. I don't have much time for the local church. I want to say something. The necessity of being welded together. That's what the word knit means. Oh, you ladies can use it. Please do. I don't know much about it. I have a hard time sewing a button on. I can, but it's a little struggle for me. Isn't it awful? I know guys that can't cook too. But anyway, being welded together in love. Boy. How is being knit together in love going to help me to be a strong Christian? Well, the more we get together, the more the happier we will be. Some people don't see the need of being in church. But the Word of God is saying right here that in order to be knit together, you got to be together. But it's in love. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. You can be together without being in love. That's the word agape. That's God's kind of love. Do you love the brethren? You say, I don't like him. I don't like her. It could be that since you don't have love for the brethren, that you might not even be saved. You know that? You can be very religious and look good and smell good and act good. But if you don't love the brethren and you just love yourself, it's a pretty good idea that you really haven't entered into what it means to be a real strong Christian. Maybe not even a Christian. There has to be love towards one another. We sing, you know, a farewell songs. Blessed be the tie. Oh, so touching. Or till we meet again at Jesus' feet. Well, brethren, how about meeting together now? Huh? I think you have to see that to forsaking the assembly yourselves is very important. And those who say, I don't see it that important, I don't have to go to church to be a good Christian, you don't? Well, the Word of God talks about gathering together. Do you know that? Maybe you don't know it all yet. Maybe you don't see scriptures like Colossians 2 and verse 2 that we need to be knit together in love. Now, that word knit together, it has also the idea of instruction. The other word knit has the idea of being instructed in love. Well, we're to love in the truth, the Bible says in Ephesians 3. To love in the truth. Now I hear about tough love. Yeah? When we had small children, we had sometimes to use discipline. And you know as well as I do that we just rather not have to do that. And there was no real great pleasure in licking a child. No real pleasure in that for me. Maybe you, not me. But it had to be done. And so if we're going to preach the truth in love, sometimes we've got to say things that we normally wouldn't say because it wouldn't be politically correct. And if you want to be politically correct, then you don't go by this book, because this is the Word of God and you tell it as it is. And I want to tell you something. There needs to be instruction. The instruction needs to be given with love. Say, well, I don't know about that. Seems to me sometimes it doesn't seem like it shows much love. Don't be judging on the matter. You don't know a person's heart and the desire. If you have the agonizing that people need to be strong in the Lord, and that they count for the kingdom of Christ, and that they are working and God is using them, you know that there has to be instruction. Destruction has to be based in love for them. And by the way, that word agonizing, Paul said in verse 29, he says, you know, as a minister, he said, verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving, agonizing according to his working, which worketh in me mighty. Yes, he says, Paul, I will help you. God says that he'll give us, he works in us. He'll do it mightily, and that's wonderful that he helps us. But I want you to know something. You concerned about people? Do you see people dying without Christ? Oh, that's awful. Well, do you? Do you see that they need the Lord Jesus? Or do you just see a person that seems to be doing quite well, educated and dressed well and speaks well and they're all, everything's okay? Or do you see beyond that? There's a soul there, a precious soul. That soul is going to either go to with the Lord Jesus in heaven or go to die and go to hell. Do you see that? Isn't it agonizing to say, how can I touch, how can I give the word of God to that individual? Here's where we become weak. Instead of being strong and leading out like we should, we make acquiesce. We back off. We don't want to be unkind to people, do we? No. No sense in being unkind to people, but to be kind to people is to be faithful with their souls. Is that possible? Do you really love souls? If you love souls, then you will do this. You will instruct them in love. Boy, Paul, are you telling you, you're getting us ready to instruct us in these heresies and falseness that's in the church at Colossae and Laodicea and throughout all those who haven't seen my face? He said, we're going to have to get to it. Knit together in love. Well, I still don't have it. Well, he said, all right, then. Thirdly, you need all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Well, now that's a lot of words, Paul, about riches of full assurance of understanding. In other words, a wealth of understanding. I see this word here frequently. I see the word riches. I see treasures in verse 2, verse 3. And if I go on down a little bit, don't I see it here again? Riches, treasure, wait a minute. Where do I see this? I see riches, yes, verse 2. And I see treasures in verse 3. And, well, there you are. How about these matter of riches? Let me ask you a real pointed question. This is real pointed. And I'm going to involve myself. You ready? You're going to involve yourself. I'm going to involve myself. Now listen, would you rather have a lot of wealth and a little of God? Or would you rather be poor and have a lot of God? That's too tough. Well, there are people in the world in that state. Now, most of them would say, I guess you put it right down to it. I'd rather be wealthy and have a little bit of God than to be poor and have a lot of God. Boy, what a confession that would be. Wealthy, riches, that we're working so hard about. What's going to happen to all this? Say, well, I guess the kids will get it. Wait a minute. Eventually, it's all going to burn. Is this wealth and riches that we're in the passage this morning, is that all going to burn and be dissolved and go away? No, it lasts for eternity, ever and ever. So where should I put my stock? try to be the wealthiest man I can, get a little bit of God. No, I don't want to be poor. But I'll tell you one thing, the answer really is, if it really come down to the bottom line, it'd be better to be poor and have a lot of God, because he'll take care of you. He'll take care of your needs. But we don't see it that way. What an indictment. What an indictment upon us, friends. You can see where Paul was struggling. He was struggling with the very thing that you and I are struggling with. And your loved ones. They're more concerned about this world than they are about eternity. And you help them to do it. You don't talk to them about the Lord. And they're going to die. Wealthy of understanding. A wealth of understanding. My. You can't get too much. Say, well, I know there all there is about theology. I want to tell you about theology. You know, theology can be cold turkey. You can have your head busted with all kind of theology. But and say, hey. It's like a man who's a walking encyclopedia. There are people who are walking encyclopedias. They just blip, 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 blip. They're very livid. But they're not wise. The Bible talks about wisdom here in verse 3. You can have a lot of knowledge. Get A's and B's or A's. Say, really, really smart. But do you have wisdom? Knowledge is what you can just learn from the head. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Some people can't apply what they know. They're just book people. Are you a book Christian? Say, well, I understand what that. Do you understand it in a practical sense? We're talking about a practical subject, which I said that the world makes a lot of ado about it, and I don't particularly like to get into that rut, but I believe there is something here. How to be a strong Christian is important for us to get to see that this is important. This is really important. Because if you get a head full of knowledge, big old head full of knowledge, and there's just no heart behind it, what good is that for the kingdom of Christ? Well, I want you to see this verse 3. It says that there is this abundance of full assurance of knowledge. It's nice to have assurance. By the way, do you have assurance of your salvation? Now, come on. We used to sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Assurance. How do you get real assurance that you're a Christian? Well, here you are, in case you want to go running around someplace in the Bible, stay right here. If you want to have the abundance of full assurance of understanding, is to acknowledge of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, even the Christ. In him are hid all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. Get more of the Word of God. Well, tell you the truth, I don't find reading the Bible very exciting. What? You don't what? I don't get to reading the Bible very exciting. It's almost like taking bad tasting medicine. What is? Just to sit down and read the Word of God. It's like taking bad tasting medicine to me. You're kidding. No. Boy, no wonder you don't have assurance of salvation if you look at the Bible as like bad tasting medicine. If you go there with an open heart, prayerfully ask the Lord and say, Lord, show me what this is all about. And stay there till your heart gets warm and say, well, I got to work. Who doesn't? We got time to do other things, our hobbies and all those things that we want to do. Oh, friends, look at this passage. This is God's Word. You say, I need assurance. I don't have good assurance of salvation. Well, it's telling you right here, to have a richness or a wealth of full assurance is the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. What is the mystery of God? God has a mystery? Yes, indeed. It was concealed until Jesus Christ came, and now it's revealed, for it says, in whom? Verse 3, in whom? That's the mystery of God. It's Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of God. In whom are hid all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge. A man said to me one time, he said, I don't know why you went to college and seminary for. He said, you know, I paid $12,000 for my farm. What do you have? Doesn't that sound like an up-to-date logic thinking. Well, when it really comes down to it, if you want the wisdom and knowledge, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is through Christ. No, no, no. Now you're getting on Christology again. You're going to get about Christ. Let's get about Christ. You want to say, hear more about Christ? Here it is. He's the creator. Well, I know that. He is the sustainer. Yeah, I heard that too. He keeps all things together. Otherwise, we'd be blobs. You mean he doesn't know how I'm going to keep my lawnmower tractor running? You mean he doesn't know that valve's sticking? Well, God doesn't know anything about those things. Hey, remember, he's the creator. And he gives gifts to men. Now, I get angry at engineers because I'm not an engineer. And say, why in the world would he stick a spark plug in a place like that? Did this boy just come out of college and get a job and said he would put a hole here and put a spark plug in there? He can't even get in there and put threads that long on a spark plug. Bam. I say, well, you don't know all the facts. Maybe I don't. But maybe you don't either. Maybe they don't know that if we ask the Lord for wisdom, which comes through knowledge, for all things. No, 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 no. The Lord wouldn't know how to handle my sore toe. He's not a doctor. He's a great physician. Listen, you take verse 3 and you just meditate upon that, or as we say down to the barn, ruminate on that. That all hidden in Jesus, in whom that's Christ. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you run off to a godless school and expect that you're going to get real knowledge. And you won't go to church. Or you go to some charismatic outfit, thinking that, well, they have something that we don't have. Oh, friends, Paul is saying to be a strong Christian isn't all that complicated. And we get some dumb ideas as people. We know better than God. And God's saying to you, listen, you want to be strong? You haven't seen my face? That includes us. He said, I have a great conflict for you. And I'm concerned about you, that you be strong in the life, the day in which you live. And he said, I'll tell you how you can be strong. And that your hearts, the innermost person of you, might be comforted or encouraged. Or as it is, you're strengthened. Yes, it's inward strength. Yes. And not only that, you might be knit together in love. That there be love for the brethren, that you would be together and study these things together. Some people are standoff afar. As I told you many times when I was young and went to church, people didn't even say hello to me. Just standoff back afar. Maybe you're like that. You better look at the scriptures if you want to be a strong Christian, that you need to be concerned and be welded together, knit together. I like that word knit. I really do. That is the idea of bound together, united together, well-ordered, a tapestry of love, strong ties. But the idea is instructed, to be instructed by in love, and then to have an abundance, wealth, abundance of full assurance of understanding. To the acknowledging of this, God had a mystery, and it was concealed for many, many thousands of years, but it was revealed in Christ, and that is Christ, in whom, he says, in him are hid all the treasuries of wisdom and of knowledge. You think I'm silly when I ask the Lord for something? See, what do you ask the Lord for that for? He's not interested in something like that. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? He's the creator, sustainer. He knows all things. It says in the scriptures that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Go to your books. It probably ultimately came from him anyway, but if you want to spend all your time, yeah, sure, I think you ought to have your books. Read them. That's part of knowledge. But there may be some areas that we may say, well, I think I just need to ask the Lord about this because I just don't have time to do all this. There's so many important things to do. Well, I'm going to say this. If you're not strong, who are you going to blame? Blame the preacher? The preacher has agony for you. He struggles for your maturity. He wants you to be strong. And he prays. And praying isn't just just child play. To be concerned, so-and-so doesn't seem to be interested, always interested in this life. He's more interested in this life than he is about walking with the Lord. And that's a burden to people who really want people to be strong. If you're not strong, who are we going to blame? According to this passage, you're going to have to blame yourself. You're going to blame yourself. I'm not a very strong Christian. I'm really not very strong. Who are you going to blame? You're going to have to blame yourself. Because it's all here for you. Now, I know it takes some application. And I know this, that you have to look at verse 3 and said, all other things are subservient to the knowledge of Christ. I like that, don't you? When it comes to education, all educational fields are subservient to Christ, according to verse 3. All right, Paul, by the Spirit of God, I know that what you're going to get into here very soon, people are considering deflection. They're going to leave. Where do you get that? I'm talking about the rest of Colossians. People are going to leave. And he's saying there's all kinds of seductions out there, spiritually speaking. And he's going to fortify them, even though he's in jail. He wants to fortify them that they be strong so they will not be seduced by all those, so shall I say, enticing words of verse 4. There are people out there that will beguile you with enticing words. You don't believe that. You say, boy, that really is good. But it may not be. And he said, I want you to be strong, Christian. And you know the difference between error and truth. Because he's concerned about their spiritual welfare. Do you think there's anybody concerned about your spiritual welfare? Are you concerned about the spiritual welfare of anybody? These are questions you got to answer in your own heart. Am I really concerned about the spiritual welfare of people, or am I just kind of looking out for number one? See, I can't understand why I don't have good assurance about some things. I know I've been to church for years, but I don't seem to have a real close. Well, who are we going to blame? Before you go blaming anybody, you better take a look in the mirror and see what the problem is. Is there a hymn that might help us? And there might be. What is it? Well, it's hymn number 37, isn't it? Hymn number 36, and it's to a tune you all well know, but notice the words as you sing it, please. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of a mighty, all glory and strength and domination accord. Number 36.
Ascribe to him glory.
How precious, Lord, even as we have sung that stanza, Jehovah all strength to his people imparteth. And our Father, we desire to be strong. For we know that the things that would sidetrack us, that they're not lasting. The things that we see are temporal, but the spiritual things are eternal. And so give us some understanding, some wisdom on these matters, even as we considered this morning how to be strong Christian. And so now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Perhaps you have a thought concerning the subject. Maybe if something's come to you as we were looking at this, that you would feel would enhance even further the exposition of the passage, which is, has a lot in it, my friends, I'll tell you that.
Do you think the greatest enemy... Christ is the only Messiah.
Yeah.
You must be I don't know what the word they would use for you, but the word that pops into my mind is the zealot, and that's what we're
supposed
to be.
Yeah. Well, if you thought the devil's on vacation, I just read something about a movie that's going to be anti-religious. So what's so striking about that? Well, the enemy's out there working. He wants to show us that it's a waste of time to be here this morning, Tom. That's where he'd talk to most people. It's foolishness. Yeah, you're right.
Well, to counter the Devil's movie, I heard there's a new movie coming out by the same people who are facing the Giants.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yes.
Fire Something with Kirk Cameron at the end of September is coming out.
Good.
It's about a man and his struggle in a marriage and how God works through it.
Oh, I rejoice. I do. All right, amen.